Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
And Northern Ireland, I'm just looking here at the news at the moment as it's coming in, and literally I was watching BBC a few minutes ago and some poor critter set himself on fire with a Molotov cocktail. He looked like a young man. He was obviously throwing it, maybe involved in throwing it, or somebody threw it. But anyway, live on the BBC, the man's head was on fire and other people were trying to put it out. Police in Belfast are now preparing for a further disruption in Belfast tonight as crowds continue to gather once again. Of course, last night a hijacked bus was set alight at the junction of Lanark Way and the Shankill Road following a protest with crowds gathered there and at a West Circular Road at its junction of Springfield Road. It looks like the violence is now spreading to not only loyalist but nationalist areas as well. And I did say today that I felt it was wrong, and I felt like part of the problem, when we report this in the news, and I read a piece from RTE today, when they said a group of loyalist youths, by labelling them loyalist youths instead of just youths, I think what we're doing is continue to stigmatise people and continue to label people as being one side or the other, rather than everybody being in this together, so to speak. And I hate to use the phrase that's been used during COVID-19 for so long. But look, these youths, and they are youths, to a variety of objects of the PSNI vehicles. And I'm looking at the Secretary of State mentioned there today as well. This is Brandon Lewis, and he talked about the violence, and he talked about a 13-year-old. He said, words fail me for what goes through an adult's mind to encourage a 13-year-old kid to behave this way. And he's talking about the video that circulated of these kids, and I say kids, anywhere from kind of 8 years of age up to 17 or 18 years of age, some adults thrown in there as well. And as they ran, you know, from doing their deed and setting the bus on fire and doing whatever they were doing, there was parents on the sideline cheering them on, giving them a round of applause for the violence and chaos they had just caused. This is the problem in Northern Ireland. There are many reasons why people are rioting. I'm lost at this stage. Because you can blame it on Brexit, you can blame it on obviously the border down the sea and many people not happy with that. You can blame it on frustration during COVID-19. You can blame it on the Bobby Storey funeral and the fact that there was no convictions or criminal convictions to members of Sinn Féin who attended the funeral. You can blame it on a lot of things. But it still doesn't give people a reason to go out and throw Molotov cocktails in the middle of the street and attack the police. So what got me then today was I was talking to Malachy, who will be on the show with us very shortly again. But I spoke to Malachy today and we talked about, God, you know, we'd hate to see it go back down the road of pre-1998. We would hate to see that again. And many of you, by the way, listening will remember that, because obviously our demographic of this radio station is quite, when I say old, over 35. So you remember that. Many of you won't. Any of our younger listeners will have no idea what I'm actually talking about. But 40 years of the Troubles. Of course, there's a lot more to the history than that, but 40 years, so much of the Troubles, where people literally couldn't walk the streets without fear for their life, being bombed, being blown up, being shot, in Northern Ireland mainly, of course, and across Britain as well, where bombs were planted by the IRA, because I don't want to leave that out too. I want to be fair to everybody. It was wrong. It was meaningless. Nothing was achieved by it, really, in the end, as Malachy pointed out rightly today. We're still in the same situation we were in before the Troubles. The only difference is it's peaceful. And that's what everybody wants, is peace, isn't it, at the end of the day. We all want peace. But unfortunately, that's not what's happening in Northern Ireland over the last 5 nights. To give you a bit more of an insight into it, and by the way, I want to hear from you tonight as well. I want you to give us a call, or text us, should I say, or WhatsApp us at 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Or if you want to give us a call and come on the air, you can. The number is 0818-942-105. That's 0818-942-105. All right. And the question I'm going to be simply asking you, as I asked today, well, I suppose I asked it based on what Malachy said. And Malachy said, the people of the South don't care what happens up the North. They just don't care. They didn't really care for the 40 years of the Troubles, and they don't probably care now. But do you care? I do. So let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Paul, who is a resident of North Belfast, and he's there tonight. Good evening to you, Paul. Oh, sorry, Paul, I need to just turn you on there. I do apologise. Hold on. Sorry, Paul. Good evening to you.
Good evening. I'd just like to pick up on a point there that you made as regards to the violence spilling into nationalist areas. I come from a nationalist area. I'm from Ardoyne, North Belfast, not far from Lanark, where the trouble kicked off last night. I would just like to say this. This has been ongoing now for the past 8 nights. There have been sporadic outbursts of violence in various parts of the north, and it has been instigated by loyalists. Last night, the loyalists over at Lanark managed to break their way through the peace barrier in an attempt to attack homes and people there. People that were near the barrier, two of them, that were deemed to be from the nationalist community, were attacked and given unmerciful beatings. It was blatantly sectarian, so we'd just like to make that clear.
But see, here's the thing, Paul. Okay, and I'm okay. Thank you for clarifying that for me. But here's the thing, right? When we use words like nationalist, loyalist, unionist, sectarianism, and all these words, which were words that we would like to think in the future we will never hear again, because they do stigmatize people and they do separate people, and they do that is sectarianism in itself. When we use words like that, when I see reported in the news a group of loyalist youths, you know, attacked a bus last night, or, you know, threw a firebomb onto a bus, I would rather just see a group of youths, because it doesn't matter whether they're Catholics, whether they're Protestants, whether they're loyalists, whether they're nationalists or Republicans. It doesn't really matter, because they're thugs. That's the bottom line. They're thugs. So it doesn't matter who they are or what they're representing, because that's not the way we deal with things in 2021, is it, really?
The thing about it is there are people who fire massive missiles into cities and kill hundreds of thousands of people too. What are they?
Well, I understand. I do understand that sometimes things come to that.
That's not the way we go about things, because there's quite a few Western governments seem to be doing a lot worse than burning buses. Not that I in any way condone the attack on the bus, you know, but just, you know, to answer you there. Yeah, what happened yesterday, the bus was absolutely horrendous. There was a young lady there with a newborn child. She'd just been out of hospital. She was basically rushed out at the last second before the bus was engulfed in flames. The bus driver, too, they just managed to get off the bus before it was attacked. So, yes, no, I condemn that, yes, absolutely.
And but do you, Paul, do you condemn all violence?
Do I condemn all violence? No, I don't, because I grew up in an area that was surrounded, and we suffered the heaviest casualties during the struggle, and we had to defend ourselves and we had to use violence in order to do that. So no, I don't.
But nobody's saying we should ever forget the history, and nobody should say we should ever forget the victims of the struggle. We should ever forget all those people who died on both sides. And I have to be fair, on both sides. But what I'm saying is, you know, we have progressed as a society. We've had the Good Friday Agreement. The vast majority of people voted for it. They wanted peace in Northern Ireland. They now have peace to some degree. And now we're seeing this. And the problem for me looking at it is firstly, I'm not understanding the reason for it. I get the frustration. I get the border down the Irish Sea for loyalists and how they feel about that. I get their frustrations. I understand as well that, you know, COVID-19 certainly hasn't helped these young people who are frustrated and probably not at school at the moment, etc., etc. I get all of that. But what I don't understand is parents who idly stand by watching their young 13 or 14-year-old run up the road with a petrol bomb in his hand. I don't get that.
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of reasons behind what's going on here. But there is something that I've noticed that a lot of media outlets seem to be missing, and that is the fact that the areas where these incidents are taking place happen to be under the control of a certain loyalist faction. And that certain loyalist faction in recent months was targeted by the PSNI in a crackdown against its organized crime efforts.
This is in relation to drugs.
Yes, absolutely. There's been a number of cartels that have been linked to the UDA faction, and it just so happens that the areas where this balance is breaking out happens to be in their strongholds.
And do you believe that is the reason for this?
I do believe it's one of the reasons.
And what are the other reasons you believe for this?
Well, the thing is, you have to tie this into what's going on with the DUP as well. The DUP want the chief of police to resign. So obviously he's the man that would have given the go-ahead for that crackdown on loyalism. So they're obviously jumping on board with that. And we've seen time and time again unionists in positions of power using certain rhetoric that ignites violence. That's happened time and time again. And that's what's happened here and now.
Yeah, but, but Republicans are also in a position of power in Northern Ireland as well as the Deputy Minister. Now, I understand, and by the way, I agree with you, Arlene Foster's tweet last night where she condemned the actions of loyalists but also went on to say that we should be focused more on the illegalities of Sinn Féin or whatever it was, she says, I'm paraphrasing, was uncalled for. I get that.
Well, she basically attempted to label Sinn Féin as the real criminals. In other words, what's she trying to say? Those that are out burning the buses aren't the real criminals. Those that are out orchestrating this violence aren't the real criminals. What's she trying to say?
Well, I think what she's trying to do is distract and move the focus away from loyalists. In one hand, basically condemning what the loyalists were doing, but then distract people.
I agree entirely, yeah.
Okay, but in saying that, I'm still struggling. Okay, you talked about a drugs cartel, and a lot of people were texting in about that today, and that is part of the reason. That may be a part of the reason for a distraction there, and part of the reason to distract the PSNI as well. But that's not the main reason for this. And again, I come back to the point that if it was the case that it was a drug cartel, or if it was the case that there is other reasons for this, why are these not adults? Why are they children? Why are we seeing 12-year-olds? And where are their parents? I'm looking at a video live here on Belfast Live at the moment. There's 12 and 13-year-olds standing out in front of water cannons. What's that about?
This is the nature of the way things are done here. You know, for example, the loyalist paramilitaries, they began their recruiting via ratting. They get the young kids out onto the streets and they see who has potential and they basically single out who's good at whatever, and then they, next thing you know, they're brought into an organisation and then it's up to their necks in organized crime and sectarian violence. You have to bear in mind too that these organizations were assisted, financed, and armed with the help of the British war machine. That's no secret.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're a Republican, Paul, yeah?
I would be a pro-Republican, yes.
Yeah, okay. I just want, the reason I wanted to say that was, and I'm not having a go at you, by the way, I don't want to disrespect you, but what I'm saying is just to clarify for the listeners that you would have a bias, obviously, in relation to what's happening at the moment, because obviously you're a Republican.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you're ever going to have a bias?
Yeah, well, absolutely.
They're coming from.
So what's the answer? Look, there was no easy way out of Brexit. Everybody knew that when it came to Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland was the forgotten child, and we know that. And there was no easy way out of it. So the only way the British government had out of it for trade deals was basically to put a border down the Irish Sea. Now, that is literally just for trade. It doesn't stop your movement. It doesn't stop the free movement. It doesn't stop a loyalist being British. It doesn't stop somebody who's a Republican being Irish. So why has this caused such a problem when it's only for commercial use?
You see, the thing is, you're asking me to basically explain, you know, the loyalist perspective on this.
I'm curious, though. Do you understand why it is?
I don't really understand it either. They seem to think that, you know, if there's no border on the island of Ireland, that they've been abandoned and they've been left to become Irish all of a sudden. And, you know, that's one thing. There's a certain fear factor. There's also There is also the fear factor among loyalism that we're headed towards a united Ireland.
Isn't this the conversation? Because, of course, on prime time last week or the week before last, we had the debate, you know, obviously with Sinn Féin and Leo Varadkar and everybody else in relation to a united Ireland. So is this the problem now, that unionists and loyalists, or say loyalists in Northern Ireland, believe that this agenda is clearly on the table now for conversation, that this could be happening sooner rather than later? Is this the fear?
I believe that to be a part of the problem, yes.
Well, stay there for a second, Paul, if you can. I want to go to Malachy as well, who was with us earlier on today, Malachy Steenson. Good afternoon, or good evening to you, Malachy. Oh, sorry, somebody switched that one off too there. I do apologise, everybody. Somebody has switched all my lines over for me for some
reason. You're only human.
No, it's okay. I do apologise, Malachy.
Right, have you now, yeah.
Yeah, Malachy, in relation to what's happening, you've been listening to Paul, who lives in the area as well. I mean, now we've got a situation where, you know, they parked these water cannons in a nationalist area.
That shows quite clearly that there's a difference between the RUC's way of dealing with nationalists are loyalists. And people,
the PSNI,
need to I mean the RUC.
You can call them what you want.
Matter.
I know, I'm just telling
the
you.
RUC,
I'm just
right?
correcting you for factual purposes.
It doesn't matter what they call it. And they can change it, the name of it 100 times. It doesn't change what it is, right? It's still the RUC. The UDR or the RIR is still the B Specials, right? And they're all British forces in Ireland. But the difference, and this needs to be very clear, those who are rioting in loyalist areas, those who are up at one side of Lanark Way between the Shankill and Ardoyne, coming down onto the Springfield Road, who are attacking and trying to smash through the security gates there.
We see that in the videos,
right?
Yeah.
They're the aggressors, and they have been for the past number of nights. And the RUC has stood by and allowed them to do that, right?
This is the gates that we've seen on fire in the videos, yeah.
Yes, and the gates that the loyalists were allowed, under the direction of the UBF, and this thing that these are spontaneous attacks, I'm sure Paul and many of us have seen the list of protests that have been arranged.
But wait, sorry, Maggie, sorry to interrupt you, just for listeners who are not familiar with the area. These particular gates that you refer to, that people would have seen in videos many times today, that have been set on fire with petrol bombs, etc. What is the purpose of them?
Right, well, the purpose of those, and Lanark Way is probably a couple of hundred yards long. It links the Springfield Road, which is a nationalist area, up to the Shankill and the junction with Ardoyne then after that, right? And the gates are there to stop, in general, loyalist incursions from the 1960s into nationalist areas. And my father was born and reared in 247 Springfield Road, which is now the first house on Springfield Road at Lanark Way. It was the second house, but the RA were trying to blow up some troops at one stage and blew up the first house. Now, the RUC have deployed water cannons, heavily militarised public order police, on the Springfield Road. They didn't do that at the other end. And the people who are standing on the Springfield Road end are there to protect their own community, to protect their houses from being firebombed by loyalists throwing firebombs over the gates, to stop the loyalists smashing through the gates and coming into a nationalist area, as they did right through from 1965.
Okay, the gates, right? The gates are known as the peace gates, and I know Paul mentioned them.
Well, they're security gates. They're not peace gates. They're there. They're security gates. They're there to stop loyalists coming in, and loyalist gunmen, particularly in the 70s, from coming in straight down Lanark Way into Springfield, up into the falls, and shooting the first tag, as Gusty Spence described it in 1965, the first tag that they would see, right? And tag, for your listeners there, is a Catholic, right? And on the basis that somebody was on the falls or on the Springfield Road or anywhere in that area, they were presumed to be a Catholic.
Would you agree with Paul that he believes that a lot of the reason for this, I suppose, and we've seen it more recently, and particularly with young people as well, obviously they get it off their parents because the parents passed down information.
Hold on, let me just mention,
do you believe the reason for that is that we're now looking at genuine debates around a united Ireland?
No, we are not.
Well, we've seen one on primetime only recently, didn't we?
There has been no debate about a united Ireland. What they're talking about now is a shared island, which goes back to the SDLP and John Hume's concept of the way we should go forward. Nothing to do with republicanism. And any republican who's engaged in this shared island concept is not a republican, right? Republicans' role is to re-establish the republic, which was declared on the steps of the GPO, defended in the first defence of the republic between 1918 and 1922, and the second defence of the republic between 1922 and up till now, right? So a shared island is not what this is about.
You want united Ireland, but there are many people... You mentioned today, and I think you said it, I'm not too sure, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you said today that most people in the south of Ireland couldn't care less what happens in Northern Ireland.
They never could.
Well then, why would people want a shared island? They just want a united... Why would people want a united Ireland? A shared Ireland would be quite progressive and quite happy with it for a lot of people.
Well, I think this is one of the difficulties that those who are arguing even for a shared Ireland, which will ultimately come to a referendum, and they somehow believe that the people in the south will vote for it, or the people in the north, because they somehow believe that because somebody is a Catholic that they will automatically vote for to come into this bankrupt state where... Just even look at the COVID thing. Just look at the vaccination program in the north and look at the south, where we've the highest paid civil servant in the world running the dysfunctional
shambles.
Right? You know, why would anybody in their right mind in the six counties area of Ireland want to come into this?
By the way, Paul, I'm assuming you would like to see united Ireland, Paul, in theory.
Absolutely, but an Irish Republic Not a unit. Not just a united Ireland or a new agreed Ireland.
But Paul, Malachy makes a good point. Are you willing to pay to go your seat to see your GP? Are you willing to pay more for your car insurance? Are you willing to pay an extra 20 to 23% or whatever it is on your to purchase a car? Are you willing to do all those things?
Under the public, I wouldn't have to.
Sorry, Malachy, what did you say?
No, shouldn't we be saying that the other way around?
Well, we should, but we wouldn't have the money to do that.
We shouldn't have to pay to go to the doctor. Shouldn't we be saying we should have...
Malachy, I agree with you.
Shouldn't we be saying we shouldn't have to pay...
Yeah, but Malachy, you're missing the point. I completely agree with you. But the point is, Northern Ireland can't afford to do what it's doing at the moment. Hence, it's subsidised by the British government.
That's nonsense again.
It's not nonsense. It is subsidised by the state, by the British state.
The reason that the North... receives, and I won't call it Northern Ireland, and we've discussed this before, the north of Ireland, or the six counties, right, or the northeastern part of this island, right, it receives such a huge subvention from the British state because most of the people who would normally have been the leaders in society are employed in so-called community groups and all of these NGOs and all of this nonsense that's funded by the EU and by the British by Westminster, and all of that feeds in. And if we were to take this island and re-establish the republic that clearly that Pearce set out, and that in the programme for the democratic programme for government of the Fourth Dáil, if we set that out and if we go and we follow that, we will have a great country.
By the way, Malachy,
we have our two banks.
Yeah, I mean there's a bit of a fantasy going on there because let's say tomorrow we all voted tomorrow and it became a united Ireland. And wonderful, you and Paul will be delighted, right? But what about the 50% of loyalists, 50% of the population who are loyalists up there and the Protestants up there? What about them? What about those people who are throwing bombs at the moment or firebombs? They're not going to be happy. They'll be back out in the streets again the next night.
Well, hold on, Noel. We cannot allow, and this is the argument that goes back to 1922, and when the North was created as a Protestant state for a Protestant people, the six counties of Ulster, not the nine counties of Ulster, they were created, as I continually say to you, to create that artificial majority in the North, right? Now, this is an island, and it's the majority of the people on the island who, in 1918, accepted and ratified the proclamation and the rising that happened in 1916. And any attempt to usurp that by whatever government has been in this state, and, you know, the governments that we've had in this state have failed us dismally. Every one of them, whether it's Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil. And remember, Fine Gael executed more people while they were in power in a very short period in 1922, in 10 months. They executed 77 people. The Brits only executed 16, I think. You know, so people should have no doubt as we move to next year and we look at blood.
Okay, I'm still looking at a solution. Paul, what's the solution to stop what's happening here over the last 6 or 7 nights or whatever it is? You mentioned 8 nights, by the way. I'm reading only 6 or 7. But
it's been 8 nights, and nationalists and Republicans have to be commended for this, the restraint and the discipline that they have shown, because it has been trying. You're asking for a solution. It's going to need to be a long-term one, but it's going to need to happen within the communities, and it's going to take a great deal of community work to try and defuse the current situation where it lies. It's going to need to take a lot of work also from the politicians that are in positions of power. They're in positions to do things. They need to wind their necks in. The dangerous rhetoric that unionists in the DUP in particular have to be using, that needs to be abandoned. That needs to be removed from the equation because that's only fueling it.
You don't think the actions of Sinn Féin fuel it every now and again too?
Well, I don't think...
Deputy First Minister who brings in laws and then breaks her own laws, you don't think that fuels it as well?
Well, the thing is, first and foremost, I'm not a Sinn Féin voter, right? Mm-hmm. Secondly, do I think Sinn Féin have been a part of the problem as regards to Bobby Storey funeral? You could say that, but what about all the loyalist funerals that took place during the COVID as well? People have disregarded them. They've been abandoned. Why hasn't anyone addressed that?
Well, there have been people who've been prosecuted at Lila's funerals.
No, they haven't.
As far as I know, Malik, you mentioned today there was.
The only people that have been prosecuted at a funeral are people at a funeral of Peggy thing in Derry, right? Yeah. And the provisionals didn't agree with that funeral, right? Even though he was a loyal and long-term member of their organisation, a man who was shot by the SAS and served a long time in Longkesh as a result of that. And they didn't agree with the funeral. And they've actually said that they told the family that they can't write Ogley on his gravestone. You know, nonsense stuff. So the provisionals created a publicity stunt which has backfired. Now, I believe that all people should have funerals, and Republicans particularly are entitled to the funeral that they're entitled to. And that
well, I wouldn't say Republicans in particular. That's,
well, hold on.
Anybody's entitled to a funeral.
And Republicans have a particular type of funeral if they've given service in the cause of the Republic, right? But the provisionals made the law. They are the government now in the North. They made the legislation to say that me or Paul or anybody else couldn't have a funeral for their family member. So therefore, they must pay the price. And the logic and the nonsense of bringing Bobby Storey to Milltown in a PR stunt, which has now backfired, they should pay the price for that, particularly when they're prepared.
And you think that's part of the reason why these kids are out there throwing bottles? Because they see if a government are not willing to keep the law, why should we?
Well, let's look at Niall White as a border in the Irish Sea. It was to get over the pretense that there's no border on the island of Ireland, right? The provisionals have gone into Stormont to implement British rule, and only last week were begging the British government.
The greatest respect, apart from financial reasons, there is no border on the island
of
Ireland.
There is a border on the island
where?
Of Ireland.
Where's the border?
Where is it?
Just
because there's no military on the border and that you're not being stopped, in the same way there's a border between France and Spain and any other European countries, there are national boundaries, right? Hold on. And when you go from Dundalk to Newry, you are leaving the southern state and you're entering the northern state, right? I mean, that's the reality. And the politicisation and the militarisation of the border was always in relation to the security threat.
It may be the reality, but you don't have to show your passport, or you're not questioned about it, and you never have been.
Hold on, Niall.
Not since the 80s.
When you're going to mainland UK, you do not need to show your passport.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't have to, right?
Well, you do. Ryanair will demand that you show your passport. They used to accept driver's license. They don't accept
Ryanair,
anymore.
Ryanair, right?
Yeah. I think Aer Lingus do as well. I still think you have to have a passport.
No, if you go on the boat, right?
On the boat, yeah.
Over to Holyhead. That's so any ID, because we have the common travel area.
That's right, yeah. Right? And we still have the common travel area, by the way.
Yes. So you don't need a passport, technically. Right.
By the way, can I mention, even during COVID, because I got an email from somebody the other day who told me she went off and got a negative COVID test. You don't need a negative COVID test to go to England. You still don't. It's still a common travel area.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to clarify that for people, because seemingly Ryanair and Aer Lingus, when she rang both of them, didn't know. which I thought was quite bizarre.
So in the same way as when you leave the southern state and you go to Newry, you're into the north. You are leaving.
Theoretically.
And the border in the Irish Sea was to give cover to the provisionals and this lie that people down here believe, because when they go and do their shopping in Newry and buy their cheap drink, they don't come through a military checkpoint, so therefore there's no border. There is a border. And people need
but it's more psychological than anything else, isn't it, really, when you think about it? In the eyes of people who are living in the North who want to be
hold
Irish.
Hold on, Niall. 3,500 people died in the last 40 years over that border. Hundreds more died
and we came to a conclusion that the majority of people voted for in 1998, which was the Good Friday Agreement. We came to a conclusion on that, didn't we?
Voted for it. People in the South didn't vote for the Good Friday Agreement.
I'm just saying we came to a conclusion on it.
Hold on. No, we didn't. Well, certainly I didn't. And the people in the South didn't vote on the Good Friday Agreement. What they did, and which throws in what I said earlier today, that people in the South really don't care about the North, is that they dumped Articles 2 and 3 of the Southern Constitution, which said that the island of Ireland is the nation of Ireland is the 32 counties. And they were very quick. And over 90% of the people in the 26 counties voted to dump the North.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Loads of text coming in. By the way, Ruth has just put on my screen here. There are no passport controls in operation for Irish UK citizens travelling between the two countries. You do not need to have a passport to enter the other country. And that's on Citizens Info. You try to tell that to Michael O'Leary when you're getting on a Ryanair plane.
But that's a private business, Niall.
But don't, do you not, sorry, but do you not even need a driver's license?
Yeah, well, you need some form of ID.
No, okay, all right,
but
okay.
You don't need a passport.
I thought the last time I went Ryanair, they demanded a passport. Maybe
Ryanair, that's Ryanair. Well, but the British government, when you get off the plane, the British immigration authorities don't ask you for a passport.
No, they don't. No, you're right. Okay, right? Okay, we'll say now, because I want to just
the go. The same as now, you can travel to the north.
Okay, let me just go to Dermot. Dermot, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Dermot?
Hello, good evening. How are you doing?
Jeremy, you've been listening to Paul, who's living in the area as we speak. You've been listening to Malachy about the reasons why they believe these young people, and when I say young people, 8 to kind of 17-year-olds, it looks like, from what I've seen, are running around with Molotov cocktails, firing them at the PSNI, or the OUC, as Malachy calls them. I mean, what do you think of what's going on? And does it worry you when you see these kind of, you know, scenes again after so long?
Yes, it is. It is worrying for the very reason that... What's worrying is what's going on across the water in Westminster. Like, since this thing kicked off, you've checked the headlines on Sky News when they come on, or BBC News, or ITV, or whatever. None of them are leading with what's going on up here. In some cases, the news programs are not even entertaining it at all. So the problem is, it's the man that's in power over there now, Boris Johnson, and I am convinced that he wants rid of Northern Ireland. He doesn't have no interest in it. Like, he's the last premier in the UK to show so little interest in the north was Margaret Thatcher, and he shows even less interest in the north. And they have no appetite for the north. And I think you're going to see the famous 1974 speech of Harold Wilson, where he called the northern states spongers, sponging off the taxpayers of Westminster. I can see that coming down the line again. I think that the British are—they're now got out of Europe. They're now an independent state. I think somewhere down the line, we're heading full blast where the British, not so much that the British want a united Ireland. Once the British get out of Ireland and wash their hands of it, they don't give a fuck what happens on this island. And the people that are going to get the backlash of this will be us. Because for all the talk try and work something out on a shared island, you're going to, if you have this border poll of the people, and 51%, we had this conversation before, 51% say they want the United Ireland. And does that mean that the 48%...
Don't matter.
Don't matter. And they're all just going to say, well, we lost by 2%, a bit like the Brexit vote, that we just accepted. And
we'll all just get on a boat and go back to England. Let me just get a poll on that. Poll, that's a fair question. I mean, in relation to United Ireland, Malachy says he wouldn't be happy with a shared Ireland, and neither would you. You want a United Ireland. What do you say to, well, I don't know the exact percentages at the moment, but we just say the 50% of people who want to remain and be British. Do you say, well, that's your problem, off you go and get on a boat and go home again. We have a United Ireland now. You're Irish, whether you like it or not.
No, I would say you're welcome to your republic, but you can be any nationality you want.
And but they want to be in Britain. They want to be in Britain. That's not an answer. They want to be in Britain.
That's a very, very simplistic answer. That makes no sense. It's very easy to say, well, welcome to the Republic of Ireland. Belfast is now part of the Republic of Ireland.
Let
me finish, Malachy. Quite simply, how do you explain that to probably a million Protestants, and a huge percentage of them, as I said, have an absolute hate of everything to do? Not necessarily they hate me or you as a person. They hate what the Dublin government stands for. They hate what the Republic stands for. They hate the fact that we're...
What is that exactly?
No, okay, we get the point, Jeremy. They have an allegiance to the Queen. Yeah, go on.
Hold on. Tell me exactly what that is, then. What does the Dublin government stand for?
Well, they have an elite. The point he's making is they have an allegiance to the Queen.
Hold on. The Dublin government does not represent the Irish Republic. And don't be confusing the Republic of Ireland with the Irish Republic. The Dublin government has stood by while the North has been ravished by both loyalists and by British government, right?
Who makes...
Let me finish the point. The Dublin government stood by in the 1970s when British intelligence operatives came down to Dublin and Monaghan and murdered 38 people, right? And what did the Dublin government do about that? They said, oh, must be the Ra, right?
Hold on a minute. Just let me argue that very one point. You're wrong. You're absolutely wrong in that. After the loyalists, the bombers made their way back north, the government went up to the north, and they as you, if you've seen the documentaries, they knew down to a T every man that was involved. They knew where the bombs
Of course they did.
They knew it all. But the British absolutely stonewalled them, and they could get no further.
Hold on. That is nonsense. What happened was... No, let's be very clear. The people who came down to Dublin, Somerville and the other unit around the Glenane gang, under direct control of Robert Noirac, a British Army operative. Hold on. A British Army operative, right? Working for the intelligence services. Working under the direct... orders of the British cabinet, came to this city in Dublin, came to Monaghan, and blew this place to smithereens and killed 38 people. And in the December before that, they'd already come to Marlborough Street and other places.
Okay, hold on. Paul was trying to say something there, Paul. Sorry, go ahead.
This is very important. And the Irish government, instead of going and saying to the UN, for instance, that this is a war crime, this was an attack by one sovereign state on another. They covered it up and they hid it and they blamed...
Okay, but Malachy, you're going around in circles, but the bottom line is that is the government that's in power in this country at the moment, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin on the sidelines. That's the government that's here. There isn't an alternative. You don't have an alternative government that's going to represent you as a Republican anyway, so it makes no difference what you're going to say to me. But I want to go back to Paul to answer the question again that I asked him. Paul, are you still there?
Yes.
Yeah. So, getting back to the question, and Dermot doesn't accept the first answer you gave. You know, if you turn around and say United Ireland, I'm not saying whether we do or don't want a United Ireland, but let's say it's voted for by 51% of the population of Northern Ireland if the South don't vote on it. And what happens to the 49% of those people who didn't want United Ireland, who consider themselves to be British people? You're saying, oh, you're welcome to the Republic and you can remain British if you want to be. But they don't want, they want to live in Great Britain. That is the point. This is, it's about land. They want their land to be known as Great Britain. They want to be British people.
This is the thing, right? Where did they originate from? They come from the plantation times.
Sorry, well, I'm not going to go back in history and get a history lesson, but the point is they're living there now. They're living there now, generations later.
Yeah, the point is...
Hang on, Dermot. Sorry. Let him answer the question.
Who's am I getting the...
Yes, Paul. Go ahead, Paul.
The thing about it is, you know, they come from plantation times. You said it's their land. It's not their land. It was our land that was taken from us.
It was theirs when they bought us.
They were awarded their lands.
But hang on. I'm talking about... Paul, you're not being realistic. We're talking about right now. A family, two adults, two children, living in Belfast. They bought their house. They bought their land. They're paying their rates every year, or their ground rent, or whatever it is they pay every year. And as far as they're concerned, that's their land. Now, what are you going to do with them?
They can stay. There's no problem with them.
But they're not in Britain anymore. They want to be in Britain.
Well, if they want to be in Britain, then they need to move to Britain, don't they?
No, you have no argument to back it up. You're going around and saying...
I have no argument. Wait a second. I've lived my entire life here in the north under occupation. Okay, this war machine has given me no choice whatsoever, very little choice. And I grew up through madness because of this occupation. The root cause of the problems in Ireland today are the British is the British occupation. If you want a long-term... You want a long-term solution to the problems in Ireland? You're removed Britain from the equation. We shouldn't even be discussing British politics. We're Irish people.
Okay, sorry, you want to say something to Dermot? Go ahead.
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Nobody is arguing that point. And I'm not here to defend the British state in the north. I'm like you. I'm born and bred Dublin. I'm like Malachy, and I'm like yourself. I have no desire to see the British have any more influence in this country than you have, or Malachy has, or anybody else has. But you have to be realistic. Malachy was on for the last 20 minutes giving us the history of Ireland in 1916 and 18. That, with all due respect, and they were fantastic people, but it's over 100 years ago, it's gone. We have to now deal with 2021 going forward. And going forward, we're in a mess. Because quite simply, but with all the good intentions you have of, well, the British planted the Protestants from Scotland into the north 300 or 400 years ago, or 1,000 years, or whatever. That's insignificant now. What's happening now is we have a huge way of people that do not want to live in the Republic of Ireland under the flag of Republic of Ireland. They don't want to share the island with anybody. They want to remain loyal to the Queen, and they want the six counties of the North and you to be remain British, and you are not going to budge them in any shape or form, even if the British decide to wash their hands and pull out. There will be civil war in this country.
Right, let me explain this, right? My family's divided. Half of my family would be from a unionist perspective, half of it would be from a nationalist, and there are some Republicans. that are there, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I've forgotten my point. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that must be a good Christmas get together.
The problem here is you're trying to say forget about the past, but that's all gone, all the rest of it. And we're in.
Well, no, hang on. He didn't say forget about the past.
Remember the point that I was going to make. The point that I was going to make was we've always been in a mess ever since Britain came here, and we're not going to solve this until Britain leaves. The Irish people need to resolve this. Britain are not a solution to our problems. They are
But Paul, when you say you've been in a mess since Britain came there, you know, and I've spent quite a long time and a number of times up in Northern Ireland because that's where my partner lives.
I didn't say the North.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is when you say Britain is in a mess, right? I think Britain, and I'm talking about Northern Ireland, is in a much better state than the south of Ireland. Financially.
But that's not what I said. I didn't say Britain wasn't a mess. I said we are in a mess. And we have been in a mess ever since Britain came to this island.
Okay, when you say, now I'm talking about currently at the moment, I'm not talking about the firebombs on the streets over the last 8 nights. I'm talking about generally speaking. When you say in a mess, give me an example of what you mean by in a mess. You want to come down here, Paul, and live for a while and buy a house for €400,000? Do you want to come down here and pay £50 every time you want to go to a doctor? Do you want to do all those things? Because I'd much prefer to be living up the north where you don't pay for that stuff.
Well, the thing is, actually, I've had experience of living in the south, and I do believe that the situation down there is economically it's absolutely disgraceful. I think the levels of corruption that go on down there.
Yeah, is the cost of living is through the ceiling.
But having said that, it's every bit as bad up here.
I wouldn't agree with you. I wouldn't agree with you at all.
I wouldn't agree. And the point is, nobody can, to be fair to you, I don't live in the north of Ireland. And Northern Ireland to me is just something that's 100 miles up the road. I go up for once in a while and whatever. I don't live in it day to day. So I'm not going to argue with the walk in your shoes living up there. But the point, you have to look at the bigger picture. When you're saying that the British caused all this problems, yes, the British did. The British mind their own business in the world and didn't try to
colonise the world. Yeah, there wouldn't be half the problems. Yeah, I know. Nobody's going to disagree with that.
Yes, they're a bunch of no good bullying fucking bastards. Every single last one of them.
Now that's in fairness, with the greatest respect, Dermot, that's a very derogatory remark to make about British people in general. The vast majority of British people are not no good. The vast majority of British people are good, decent people.
Yes. Okay, I'll take that back. But the establishment is just the mindset of.
You're talking about the establishment, okay?
Not about the establishment over the last 1,000 years or more. They just wanted to colonize and plunder everything they did. And because we happen to be their closest neighbor, they did just that. They destroyed this country and they caused an uprising. They caused civil war. They caused everything. They did nothing, no favors for this country. And at the end of the day, we're not all Irish on this island. There is, whether you like it or not, there is the guts of 1 million people at this very moment, in their beds or wherever they are in Northern Ireland, who claim to be either British or to be Northern Irish. But the bottom line is allegiance to the Queen. They do not want to have anything to do with the South, and it will not be solved.
But very, very good, because I have to wrap it up. Malachy, we're heading into, as far as Paul is concerned, the 8th night of this. Different, obviously, reports suggest different amount of nights. But anyway, Paul says the 8th, I believe him, he lives up there. Okay, so what's the answer to stop this, certainly temporarily, until we can come up with a plan?
But firstly, let's look at some of the things that have been proposed. Irish Republicans don't want to just take the North and latch it onto this bankrupt kip down here, right? Mm-hmm. We want to recreate the Ireland that was set out 100 years ago for the benefit of all of its people, to do away with the corruption that's endemic in both states, to do away with the poverty that's in both states, and to do away with the social inequality and all of those things, and to create a new Ireland. So it's not simply of taking the North and latching it onto here, or taking here and latching it onto the North. We want to take the best of both.
That's some sort of euphoric idea, isn't it, really? Everybody would like to see governments with no corruption, but name me a government around the world where there's no corruption.
Well, I think when we had the first government in when the first government in this country, when the people who formed the first DAL they were uncorrupted.
Very different times.
Well, you know, we need to move away from...
I'm talking about now where money is everybody's god. Name me a government in the world that hasn't got corruption or hasn't been seen to be corrupt.
I'm one of the greatest Mayfairners of all time in the history books will be Eamon de Valera.
He looked after his family, and he looked after this,
and screw the rest of us.
Of course, I'm not a supporter of de Valera. But
no, not at all.
What we have in this country, and right through most Western democracies now, are careerist politicians who will say whatever's popular.
And what makes you think Republican politicians will be any different?
They're no different.
Why are you suggesting that we have some sort of euphoric government?
We have to change all of that.
But how do you change that? We've been trying to do that for years through the democratic process to change, and every time another one comes along that's equally as bad.
Yes, you see, I don't have all the answers, despite what people think, Niall, and I know people think I'm a guru and all.
Okay, but stay there for a second, because I just want to go to one more caller in this as well, if I can, because I'm going to go to, I don't have a name there, Ruth. Jerry, is it Jerry? Yes, sorry, Jerry.
It is Jerry, Niall, sorry.
Yeah, Jerry, okay, Jerry, you're English, your parents are living in Ireland.
Both my parents were from Ireland, Tipperary and Kerry. They moved to England in the 50s because of no prospects of work or anything else in Ireland. And I was raised in London, Tipperary, and now I live permanently in Ireland since 2007. But I've gone on, because I knew so little about Ireland, I've actually gone on and done a degree in Galway on Irish history and heritage.
Okay.
To get more of an understanding.
But you probably know more about Ireland than I do, so.
But from the two gentlemen who have just been on, or I don't know if they're still on.
Yes, Malachy and Paul, yeah.
Right, you can see how far away a united Ireland.
Oh, you're talking about Dermot and Malachy, sorry, yes.
Yeah, it's basically, a vote isn't the be-all and end-all. Two groups of people have to come together and form an understanding. And you're a million miles away. Because the fella who says they can all go back on a boat and go back to England.
That was Paul, yeah.
Right, shows how little knowledge he actually has. Because the vast majority of residents in the north are of Scottish descent. Not English descent, Scottish descent. Now, the ironic thing is that they want to stay loyal to the crown in the UK. But the people in Scotland want to leave the UK.
Where
does he actually propose that these people go?
Okay, well, that was Paul. You suggested that. Well, you didn't suggest it, Paul. You kind of made that remark regarding... Let Paul answer. Sorry, Paul.
The result we have, a majority of unionists in the north because of settler colonisation. Settler colonisation was a tactic that has been used right throughout history by British colonisers.
No, but this is where you're wrong, because unfortunately, the Protestants in the north, unless the vast majority of the really strict Protestants are actually Presbyterians, and if you actually check in history, the Presbyterians were as hard done by as the Catholics in the south, because neither would at that time proclaim allegiance to the Queen or to the Crown. So they were both vilified by the English. So it's a case of people have to get all the facts and then start studying them properly. It's lovely and easy to say, Jesus, like it or lump it, but you'll have over 20% of the population of a united Ireland who are vehemently opposed to everything. And
that doesn't work.
It may well be democracy, but you've got democracy at the moment.
No, we don't, because the state was artificially created. And in 1922, the wishes of the Irish people, as enunciated in the 1918 election and in the program for the democratic program for government and in the War of Independence, clearly set out that this Ireland was a nation. And those who went and signed a treaty to sell off the North and to abandon it, you know, betrayed the Irish nation. But that's where partition comes from. Partition was a British solution.
Yes, and an imposed solution. But you also had a situation where women were promised to be equal in the Republic, And the second De Valera got his chance, women were pushed.
De Valera had nothing to do with the Republic. De Valera abandoned the Republic and created the Republic of Ireland. Well, hold on. Created the Republic of Ireland, which is not the Irish.
He's talking about when De Valera became the president, but go on,
no,
sorry.
De Valera became the president of the Republic of Ireland, not of the Irish Republic, right? The Irish Republic was defeated in 1922.
Well, Jerry, you are dealing with a Republican, so you have to be careful how you word things here, but go on.
Your man has said he's done a degree in history in NUJ, right? Now, this country was partitioned in 1922. The Republic was defeated in 1922, and British guns under the Free State Army, the National Army, led by its Commander-in-Chief Collins, and the Blue Shirt government, the Fine Gael, or of their day, Cumann na Gael, used British guns and turned them on Irish Republicans and created a counter-revolution and defeated the Irish Republic. So anything that came after that, you know, is not the Irish Republic. So, you know, if you're after studying history, you should at least know those basic facts.
Okay, let Jerry respond to that. Go ahead, Jerry.
But then, if that's your argument, then if the vast majority of the people of Ireland didn't follow the Republic.
The vast majority of the people of Ireland were never asked.
It was Cork and Kerry and a few other little fragments. The rest of the country were happy. The rest of the country at the time were perfectly happy with their lot.
I mean, Malachy, this does come down to the argument I mentioned today when we talk about the Troubles and what went on, you know, for 30 or 40 years, well, of what we observed for 30 or 40 years. And I know you mentioned the history went on for a lot longer since the 1940s, but realistically what went on in the Troubles, the majority of Irish people didn't support the IRA and don't support the IRA. The majority of Irish people seen the IRA as terrorists, not freedom fighters. And you know that.
About the North. Sorry? I know that, yes.
Yeah. Right. So that's the point that Jerry is making. Well, so the people are quite willing to move on with their lives.
The majority of the people in Dublin spat on the leader of 1916 at the Republican College. Let me make the point.
His father was jailed for being a Republican terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The thing is a Republican terrorist.
I know somebody who was put in jail as well for being a member of their organisation.
Right? Now, his son, who you think would be one of the most loyal Republican followers ever, has stated that a united Ireland, when you allow the loyalists to march down in an orange parade along O'Connell Street, unhindered, no provocation or anything else, and the same as you let the Catholics walk down Shankill Road on a parade, that's when you'll have a united Ireland.
Very clear.
And that No,
hold on. Okay, lads, I don't want to get too much into a history lesson here. I want to get straight back to the topic very quickly if I can. I've got 2 minutes left, but somebody wants to pull Malachy up on a point. I think you're actually wrong, but however, because Malachy is rarely wrong in these things. Hi, now, a great topic tonight, but can you check with Malachy? Because I think it's the Northern State was established in 1920 with the Government of Ireland Act and not 1922. The North was in place before the Free State.
In 22, the treaty agreement came into place, right? And that created the Government of Ireland Act. I'd have to double-check the years, because
I'm not going to doubt you, Malachy, for a minute. But sorry, Jerry, just finally, because I have to wrap it up. Jerry, do you believe that a united Ireland will happen in the next 10 years?
No. It may happen by a vote.
It won't.
But it won't happen by the will of the people. Do you know, since the Good Friday Agreement, how many joint schools there have been in Northern Ireland? Brought into place, how many secondary schools have been formed since the Good Friday Agreement? And bearing in mind, wasn't that 1994?
1998.
Right, now how many schools?
How many secondary schools have been formed since the Good Friday Agreement? I couldn't answer that question.
But that's nothing to do with it.
That would be only based on demand, Jerry, and the fact that the population would increase.
That's all. No, the Catholic population is increasing exponentially in the North. But unfortunately, there is no will by anyone.
Okay,
anything.
Okay, listen, I have to wrap it up. But Malachy, just somebody mentioned, or should I say, Ruth is just on my screen. The Government of Ireland Act 1920 was an act passed by the Parliament of the United Kingdom to create two separate parliaments in Ireland, the Parliament of Northern Ireland and the Parliament of Southern Ireland.
But in the 1918 Parliament in Dublin, Dáil Éireann set up a separate government, which was the determining government for this country. Now, just make one final point now, because the caller mentioned there about loyalists marching down.
Just quickly, I've got 1 minute.
I was one of the few Republicans who went in on that day when the loyalists were marching, to meet people like Geoffrey Donaldson and them, and to welcome them down to Dublin to protest in the capital of Ireland, where all Irish people have the right to gather and protest and commemorate, right? Now, what happened afterwards was, and the rioting and that, facilitated by Dublin City Council leaving munitions on the road.
Okay.
And by lunatics who weren't Republicans, who are Celtic supporters and that.
Okay, I've run out of time, Malachy. I have to wrap it. Go on, 10 seconds. Just finish what you want to say.
Well, so I have no difficulty in any loyalists or unionists or anybody from any of the 32 counties coming to Dublin and protesting and marching. Just as people come from Kerry, farmers come from Kerry,
okay,
and let their sheep off. And
all right, okay.
Into the dog.
Thank you, Malachy. I can talk to you forever. And I know you can talk forever too. Malachy Steen tonight. Appreciate you coming down the air tonight and clarifying all that. And hopefully the trouble in Belfast is not too bad tonight.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.